Hi, welcome to Responsa Radio, where you ask and we answer questions of Jewish law in modern times. I'm Rabbi Avi Killip, speaking with Rabbi Ethan Tucker, Rosh Yeshiva at Machon Hadar, a center for higher Jewish learning based in New York City. Hello.
Hi, Avi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great.
Here at Responsa Radio, we get a lot of questions that fall into this model. Can I do X on Shabbat? So we've answered, can I make coffee on Shabbat? Can I take medicine on Shabbat? And one thing that I really love about these questions is that they seem like it's the same question, and yet the answer to each question opens up a new understanding and a new layer of the values of Shabbat and what it means to keep Shabbat and what we're really trying to do in this practice of Shabbat. So we're about to tackle another, can I do X on Shabbat? So here's the question of the moment. Can mail be opened on Shabbat?
Mail on Shabbat. Classic question. What's your instinct? Do you feel like it should be okay or not?
I suppose I've always wondered when I hear this question, whether it's an issue of ripping paper physically, can I open mail? Or is there some other reason why inherently reading my mail, you know, if I pre-opened all my letters would be a problem?
Good. So that's kind of where I want to go with it, because I do think that this, like many questions, gets boiled down to a kind of almost physical, technical issue when that is important, but may not be the whole story. Let's start with the physical technical issue. The core activity we're talking about here is taking something that's stuck together and unsticking it. You know, maybe it's ripping it open. Maybe it's actually pulling the flap up where the adhesive is attaching. And that falls into the whole set of discussions around tfira, around sewing. Basically taking two objects and, you know, sticking them or threading them together. And specifically, a category that comes up for discussion is the question of an act of sewing that is not permanent, is not meant to last. Tfira she'ina shel kayama. This is a trope in Hilchot Shabbat and the laws of Shabbat in general, where there's not just the notion of something being physically significant, that kind of, you know, treads on the ban on manipulating God's world on the day when God rested. But there's a notion of like creation itself, which is sort of to last. Is the action you've done a davar hamitkayim? Is it something that actually is enduring? And to the extent that it's not enduring, everyone pretty much agrees that it can only be forbidden on a rabbinic level, right? Like a core biblical violation of Shabbat has to be something where, you know, you took a pen and you wrote on a piece of paper and it's going to be there forever. It can't be writing with your finger on a fogged up window pane on Shabbat, right? In other words, writing on a fogged up window pane is not allowed. It's drawing out letters and doing all that, but it's not going to last. So it's only rabbinically forbidden. And the question is, when you have these sort of temporary actions, as it were, like a letter that is sealed in order to be reopened, in which cases do we think of that as, well, it's not a full milacha, but it's still forbidden? And in which cases do we think of it as something that, no, it's just actually not meaningful at all? It's like possibly, let's say, playing with Legos on Shabbat and kind of building them and taking them down and building them and taking them down, and nothing really has happened. So this actually comes up with sewing. Medieval authorities argue over this. And where would this come up? So we take for granted that we have buttons on our shirts and little holes into which we can put the buttons so that you can, you know, get your hands out and in, and they can still be tightly around your wrist. Well, they didn't used to have that. And the way a lot of shirts worked was you would actually kind of take a needle and thread one pass through to hold the sleeve together. And when you wanted to take it off, you would unthread it. All right. So you had this sort of temporary sewing, basically, that was done with respect to clothing.
It's like when you buy a new suit or something and the pockets are sewn shut, but with the intention that you'll open them and use them as pockets.
Exactly. Another case that comes up in the Shulchan Aruch out of this, right? You can think of drawstring clothing, all sorts of things where actually there's things that are meant to be done and undone. But if you actually focus in on the action itself, it might look a lot like sewing something or doing something that would otherwise be physically significant. So you have a debate over this. You have the reed, Rav Yeshaya di Trani, an early medieval Italian authority, who says, look, buttons and loops, those are fine. But temporarily using a needle, no way. And he says, in a very pithy phrase, Mali tfira yom echad, mali olamit. What's the difference between sewing something for one day and sewing it forever? Now, what does he mean? Obviously, there's a big difference between the two. But what he means is, for you, the person doing the action, the act of passing a needle through something once is the same act, whether you're doing it for a short amount of time or a long amount of time. And for him, that physical dimension of it trumps any kind of psychological frame you have around it as being temporary. That's one approach. Basically says, tfira she'ina shel kiyama, this sort of temporary sewing, that's just not allowed. We can't really ever allow that. The Ravya, Rav Eliezer ben Yoel Alevi, who's in Germany, not that far apart in terms of his timing, he says, no, that kind of temporary sewing, it's not sewing. And therefore, whenever you encounter some kind of stitch like that, and you gave the example, Avi, of a suit that's together, the Ravya is dealing with cases of like shoes that might have come with, to speak anachronistically, one of those like annoying plastic tags, you know, linking the two together. He says, you can rip that apart on Shabbat because that was only put in there so that you would take it out. So there's no meaning to that physical action whatsoever.
That's interesting. I'm surprised to hear that leniency, actually. I guess I would have assumed that the action itself would be a problem. So this is an interesting specification. It's a great way of going back in and saying, what was the actual purpose of this rule? And then let's actually think logically and not just say that action is forbidden no matter what.
Yeah, and this is exactly the debate, and I think you'll like this, where it then goes is, if you have sort of the reed on the one hand saying, no, the physical action is what determines, and, you know, the frame might make it biblical or rabbinic, but the frame is not going to make it permitted. You can't say, oh, it's temporary, so I'm allowed to do it. The Rav Yah says, no, if it's completely temporary, it's meaningless. The Beit Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch, has an interesting compromise position. He says, you're allowed to tear apart the shoes, but you should never do it in front of an Am Haaretz, in front of an unlettered Jew who doesn't know the intricacies of Jewish law. And essentially saying, you know, those who are kind of deep into the rabbinic discussion, they can understand that the frame of intention for this to be temporary is dramatically transformative. But someone who approaches it on a kind of more intuitive level with less legal expertise, they're going to see an act of tearing, of destruction on Shabbat, and you'll give them the impression that that's not a problematic physical action.
Yeah, that's interesting because that really is a reality that extends into so many areas, especially when someone is newly learning any halachic area that you find that people are overly strict and stringent because it's not intuitive to them where they can be more flexible in their practice.
Yeah. And I think, you know, another way of reading this is that the Am Haaretz here, on the one hand, can be translated as someone who's not kind of versed in Jewish law. From a different perspective, I think you could also translate them as someone that hasn't had their mind turned upside down by halachic discussions and approaches things in a sort of intuitive way where what they see and feel is the physically transformative action. And there's a kind of respect for their frame there of not completely undermining it.
Okay, so bring me back to mail. Tell me how this is going to relate back to mail.
Okay, so I think the sewing piece here, pretty much viewed as a paradigm, is basically what we would be arguing over in terms of letters. Do I view the tearing open of a letter as an act of tearing on Shabbat, which is normally forbidden? Or do I view it as the sort of close parenthesis of a process that began with someone temporarily sealing up the letter so that I would eventually open it? All right, that's more or less the question here. And I think if you follow the Rav Yah, if you follow this view that the kind of temporary act of sewing is actually permitted, then I think it's pretty clear according to that view, it's permissible to open a letter on Shabbat. That said, we find in a whole bunch of medieval sources authorities that say, well, if you need to open a letter on Shabbat, you should ask someone who's not Jewish to do it, which of course, you know, makes pretty clear that they think the Jew should not be doing it. But you do find some other views that explicitly say, like the Maharil is one of these, who says that you're allowed to break open a seal to open a letter on Shabbat. Imagine like a wax seal that's closing up the letter. And he says, yeah, you can tear that right in half in order to open the letter. And that seems to give credence to that view. And some later authorities follow that approach. You have Rav Yaakov Emden in the early modern period saying, why is, you know, opening a sealed letter on Shabbat any different than breaking open a seal of a container where you have food or something else that you need to get at? And Rav Ovadia Yosef, in a long response, I'm dealing with lots of different issues of Shabbat and breaking things open, seems to be very sympathetic to this approach. He doesn't say you're allowed to open mail, but he seems to say the view that thinks that doing and undoing temporary connections on Shabbat is not a problem is right. I mean, for instance, one of the things he says is, this is why it's totally fine, let's say, to open a soda bottle on Shabbat that's never been opened before. Even though by twisting off the cap, you're actually tearing something in two. But he says, but that cap was put on there temporarily so that you would remove it in order to drink it. And I think there's logic to be said that this line of thought fundamentally says, yeah, opening a letter, what could really be wrong with that? On the other side of things, you have some very clear statements by the Mishnah Brura and others who say, no, come on. At the end of the day, this is an act of tearing. And sure, the temporary nature of it means it's not going to be a biblical level violation, but we actually, there's something almost sacred about the physical activity here. So up till that point, I think we've got the kind of technical issue of whether the opening of the envelope is a problem on Shabbat that we should sort of, you know, focus on.
So the idea that you mentioned somewhere in there about you should ask the non-Jewish person to open it for you, that really seems to imply that the problem, the yes or no here, is a matter of can you rip or can you not rip, but that there would not be an inherent problem with your reading your mail or seeing something from the outside world, or that's not actually an issue.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's what I maybe want to problematize or sort of channel, that some of the restrictive view here is perhaps also going to and might make mail different from a soda bottle. All of this discussion is through the lens of milacha, right? Of the discourse of what are the physical actions that I am or am not allowed to do on Shabbat. There's, of course, a whole other area of Shabbat restriction, which we know as muktzeh, or we know as things that are eino min hamukhan, things that are sort of sitting off to the side, or that have not been prepared before Shabbat, or have not kind of entered into my Shabbat world along with me at the moment when I lit candles. That speaks to me much more as the reason why, for instance, I don't generally open my mail on Shabbat. There's something about, I enter into a space, I've created a certain world, I've kind of closed the door as I enter the room of Shabbat, and mail represents, you know, something kind of coming in and intervening there. Now, I'm not trying, I don't want to, you know, mislead anyone here. I get the weekend edition of the New York Times, and I read it on Shabbat morning. And there could be nothing that is more...
That's exactly what I was going to say.
There's nothing that could be more an intrusion than something that basically is, you know, printed on Shabbat, and it could be news of things that happens on Friday night. And that's a whole other set of circumstances and why it's okay, and the majority Gentile population and all sorts of other things. So I'm not saying I really toe the line on not allowing anything else in, but there's something to me about, unless there is something in that mail that feels like it's actually critical to my Shabbat experience in some way. So for instance, maybe a magazine arrives, which I read on Shabbat afternoon and get, you know, tremendous oneg out of, and it gives me a kind of pleasure of reading on the day. That to me is different from, you know, you're opening up to see what this direct mail person wants from you and what that one wants to you. And certainly sitting and sorting and throwing things out, that already starts to get into things that tread closer to the world of melacha. But I guess what I would suggest is part of the calculus here is not just the question of, all right, do you break more like the Mishnah Brura or more like Rav Ovadia Yosef on the tearing question, but how do you relate to things that, you know, things that essentially arrived into your Shabbat world once the day began, and you actually have to do this kind of physically destructive activity to get at them. That feels to me like something my strong preference is to avoid. Now, if I had a kid who got their, you know, it used to be you would get your SAT scores. I mean, now everything you get, you know, instantaneously. If something arrived in the mail that you know it arrives in the mail, it's going to drive you crazy the rest of Shabbat. As a sympathetic father, I could imagine myself saying, all right, you know, Rav Yaakov Emden probably would have thought it was okay, and maybe letting them do it. But I think a general posture of avoiding opening mail is not necessarily most strongly grounded in the prohibition on tearing. It's more about what is it to maintain a posture of simply being in God's presence for 25 hours and not worrying about all the other details that intervene in our lives.
So long as we can read the New York Times.
God forbid, we don't want to take that away from anyone.
All right, great. Wait, whoa, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman. Hey, Mr. Postman, look at me. Whoa, yeah. Please, please, Mr. Postman. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, yeah. Mr. Responsa Radio is a project for the Center for Jewish Law and Values at Machon Hadar and is produced by Jewish Public Media, which creates, curates, and promotes excellent Jewish content. If you have a halachic question you'd like answered on the show, email us at halacha@machonhadar.org. You can also leave us a voicemail at 215-297-4254.